talked about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Happiness. Many will advise you how to obtain it, but maybe you're not trying to be happy. Your actions aim for the opposite. You want to be the saddest saddo sailing on the sea of sadness. So let's begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Thank you, Sean. Do you think people should be concerned that the president posted somewhat of an incoherent tweet last night and that it then stayed up for hours?
No.
Why did it stay up so long? Is no one watching this?
No, I think the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant.
And now, what? Our feature presentation.
Did that happen?
Oh, yeah, holy.
That was real.
He said the president and a small group of people know what he meant?
Yes.
Why can't you just say hit send by accident?
Yeah. He literally can't tell the truth.
That's unbelievable.
Or I don't know. I haven't spoken with the president. I don't know what happened. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't.
Look, even if you vote for him, aren't you going, what's happening? Right?
You would hope.
And by the way, we just heard a new Foo Fighters song.
Oh, how about that?
That they released today as a surprise. It's a surprise new Foo Fighters song called Run, which is actually rock.
No, that's beyond rock.
How about that?
That is heavy boning music right there, you guys.
Go on.
I'm just saying, if that song doesn't want to make you bone, something's wrong with your bone. That is good.
Allie has the floor.
That is such a great song.
Yeah.
Sounded pretty good. The reason Kevin points out it's a surprise is because what usually happens when there's a major release from an artist is you start hearing about it a few weeks in advance, or at least a week in advance. You hear, hey, next Friday, so-and-so is going to have a song. We'll drop it off or upload it at 7 a.m. or whatever the time is. And you have some heads up, some warning.
At least a day. Always.
This just appeared.
If it's one of our bands working here, at least a day. And this is, that's a nice surprise right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's not, you know, it's interesting. I read a, and we got a thing to move on to here, but I read a book recently that had a hypothesis that rock is dying and is becoming marginalized as a genre like jazz did. Jazz at one time was the most popular music in America. And now it's just a niche format.
Glad I wasn't alive then.
Very few people. Right? But you would have loved it probably at the time because that was pop music.
Mm.
But now it's a niche format that you can barely find on the radio and barely, you know, people don't see it and support it and like it and make it the way they used to. And that's the direction that rock is going.
That's
so when Dave Grohl exists, there's hope.
He's the exception.
Because you go, hey, there is somebody out there still flying that flag. And continue to make great rock music. And God bless Dave Grohl and God bless Foo Fighters. And I'm excited that we have that and we can play that again in a little bit, right?
Come on.
Right?
Seriously,
that was great. You can look at the video, by the way. They put up a video as well. You can look at it at krock.com and also the Kevin and Bean Facebook page.
Yeah, they're destroying that old folks home in the video. It's pretty fun. Let me tell you this story real fast, and then we'll move on to today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. We do have a lot of great stuff on the program today. This is out of Beaverton, Oregon. The cops had to evacuate a 7-Eleven store there and bring in an explosives unit because the microwave in the 7-Eleven had exploded.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Now, what do we know about microwaves exploding? That's usually metal, right?
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean exploding? No, if you put metal in a microwave, it can ruin a microwave.
Right. But you mean the actual device?
Yes.
The appliance exploded?
Exploded,
that
yes.
That seems like a bomb going off.
I don't think that happens ever.
It wasn't a bomb, but police were surprised by what it was. It was a urine sample.
What?
Someone had
That's
put
some nasty urine.
A cup of urine.
But think of it cold.
So in
much
the microwave.
Better warmed up.
It is better warmed up. And it had been wrapped in a hand warmer. Now, is a hand warmer, is maybe, that a glove? Is that a glove that has those little gel packets or something?
Yeah, that's flammable.
Oh, yes. I see.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, Allie. That's why it was the glove with the hand warmer wrapped around it is what made the microwave explode. And what it is thought that happened is that the person was on his way to a drug test and realized had maybe had bought some clean urine or something like that and realized it was cold and said, I got to heat up this pee before I take it into the drug test.
I mean, I can't imagine any other scenario that
that
would be in the microwave.
Right. The combination of a cup of urine mm-hmm. and a hand warmer.
Right.
Yeah. You're trying to make it warmer.
Yeah.
Right. So apparently in Oregon, by the way, recreational marijuana use is legal, but employers and the government still drug test people. And I guess although it's legal, there are still lots of occupations where they say, yeah, but you're not. If you work here, you can't smoke pot. I think that's what's happening.
Wow.
So they are looking for the
Oregon
person.
Why is Oregon so uptight?
Right.
I don't know.
Now we got blown up 7-Elevens. What do you want, people?
So they are. The police spokesperson said the chemical makeup of the hand warmer did not agree with the microwave and it exploded.
Wow.
So they are going through security footage right now to see if they can identify the person that brought it in. So, I mean, I would imagine that person would have been standing there at the microwave waiting for his pee to come out when it blew up, right? So why? Yeah. I'm curious why the clerk just didn't see the person who ran out the door, you know? But anyway, that's what happened in Oregon. Investigation is ongoing. But, boy, that's not what you expect, is it?
No.
Although
that's crazy times.
I don't see myself in that situation either, though. It's not like I need to go, okay, mental note, don't put pee with a hand warmer in the microwave. It's never going to come up.
Why wouldn't you just warm it up without the hand warmer?
Yeah, I don't know. Why would you put the hand warmer
in
there?
Yeah, it's in a microwave. It doesn't need a hand warmer around it.
I'd like to talk to that guy.
Same.
Me too. Yeah. I have a lot of questions here, Allie.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I get it. I know who you are. It's been explained to me. I'm into it. Let's talk.
It's Thursday, so we talk sports with Jim Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Tiger Woods, talking about the NBA Finals, which
poor Mr. Matt tonight.
Oh, God bless Mr. Matt. Rest in peace.
I don't know Mr. Matt.
He's the Mets mascot that flipped people off last night with his four fingers. How'd he do it? We don't know. He doesn't even have a middle finger, Kevin. It's very upsetting.
Wow.
But he has a thumb and... He has a thumb and three fingers. So
well, yeah, you don't know which one's the middle one. You just don't.
Well, he got fired.
He's being framed. He's being set up.
It's
Wow.
Conspiracy alley today.
Yeah.
You're looking at the Yankees right now, Allie?
Fake news.
Also, the NHL final, we'll talk to him about. Dr. Drew's on the show today talking about Kathy Griffin and the...
I understand he's coming out in support of Kathy Griffin.
I think so.
Oh,
that should be an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he'll wonder why people are mad at him.
Yeah.
True.
Coffee wars are a thing here at K-Rock because we share a building with AMP, and they're disrespectful. So it's on. It's on.
Well, Ralph declared war on Carson Daly yesterday in his pretty boy haircut. So I think we're trying to get Carson on the show today. So we can settle this once and for all.
There's no way he'll come on, right?
Well,
he'll be scared.
I don't know how
He should be scared.
He should be scared.
I don't know how he could defend his minions, I'll tell you that.
So apparently the people use up the coffee, and for those of you that work in offices, this will make you angry as well.
Mm-hmm.
They not only don't refill it, they just turn it off.
They just turn the machine off and walk away.
Turn it off and walk away. So that seems bogus, right? That's worth rioting over. We might burn this place down today. With a cup of urine and a microwave.
I mean, it wouldn't.
RJ Bell will be on the program. If you'd like to perhaps make some cash, and by cash I mean credits, on the NBA Finals.
Or cash if you want to put down a bet in Las Vegas.
That's right. That's good. It's legal. That's a good point.
He was real nervous.
Where RJ Bell is.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say or not say, but that makes perfect sense, Bean. Thank you. And a woman married a train station.
What?
A woman married.
Uh-huh.
A train station.
The train... Like a building?
Yes.
Was it hot?
I mean, I don't know how to judge a building hot or not. It's pretty nice looking.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's all right.
Okay.
I'd give it a go. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Allie, are you going to be okay?
I mean, new Foo Fighters and then Depeche Mode?
Yeah.
It's the best day ever.
Allie's all, Ralph, all she's talking about is how she needs to bone now that she's heard that Foo Fighters song. Like, she
some
can't go on.
Music.
I heard. Heard a
can't
lot of
get
bone
it out of her
talk.
Head now.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean to take bones out of a chicken, I'm assuming, right? That's
yeah.
Or is that deboning? That's deboning.
I think it may be different. Yeah.
Is it boning or deboning? Isn't boning and deboning the same thing if you're taking the bones out of a chicken?
Hey, that's a good point, by the way.
Mm. What's up with that? What's up with taking the bones out of a chicken? Are you deboning or are you boning it?
We put the video up at krock.com if you're just waking up and you missed it. Brand new Foo Fighters. We'll play it again for you in a little bit, too. It's 5:55 Thursday morning. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
Happy National Olive Day, everyone. Hope everyone got your olives on. Get your olive on today, folks.
Olives are Satan's butthole. They're the worst.
I'm not a fan.
Olives are the worst.
I like that you can put them on your fingers and be like, ooh, I'm olive hand.
Sure.
That's fun.
That's a plus. Very few foods you can wear.
Right.
Bean olives?
No, thank you.
Olives are the best.
We agree? Oh.
No, thank you.
Oh.
On every level.
Well, you can have all of ours because, man,
be it black or green.
You put them on your pizza, Ralph?
I put it on damn near anything I can.
Oof.
Breakfast cereal. Birthday cake. Anything that can hold an olive gets one in my life.
Olives.
Also, it was 50 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. Released on this day in 1967 was a little band called the Beatles with their seminal album, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And no, seminal doesn't mean what you think it means. It blew everybody away, pretty much. And it continues to do so. Stayed at number one for 15 weeks on the Billboard Top 10.
Wow.
That's unique.
That doesn't happen so much anymore.
It's being re-released this week in a new box set with lots of bonuses and extras and stuff. And it's interesting that Sgt. Pepper is on its way to becoming the number one album again in the UK this week. So it'll be number one again.
Wow.
And maybe in the United States as well.
Now, Kevin, I know you're not a big Beatles fan.
Then why are you asking this question? Go ahead.
Are there any songs on that album that you like? Sergeant Pepper, do you like With a Little Help from My Friends? Do you like A Day in the Life?
I don't hate.
You don't hate?
I don't hate. I just am not that interested. So when it comes on, I tune away. Unless this comes on. Unless this song. This is the one song off the album that I really like.
Be free one day.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Right?
It's a fun day.
It's a fun day.
And it's happening all around the world.
I don't hate. I don't have an appreciation that I should. Most likely.
You're not sure?
I'm not even going to commit that I should.
And no surprise, yesterday CNN did indeed end their relationship with Kathy Griffin. Dropped her like a hot potato yesterday. And she posted that controversial photo of herself holding a fake, bloodied, severed Trump, which looked like Donald Trump. She issued her apology, but apparently it was too little too late, and CNN really had no choice other than to announce they were terminating their relationship with Kathy in their long-running co-hosting gig with Anderson Cooper on their New Year's Eve show.
I don't think that. I think you're right. I think as a news organization, you can't put her on your channel.
Yeah.
And represent you just can't.
Nah.
They didn't have a choice.
They really didn't. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman is 80 years old today. Heidi Klum celebrates her 44th. Alanis Morissette is 43 years old today. Amy Schumer's 36. Nick Young.
Little help, guys? Amy Schumer? They'll know that.
I mean, I'd say yes.
Would you?
I would. That's what I knew. I would get that response.
I'm unsure. Allie?
I'm certainly surprised that you would say yes.
How dare you? I'd say maybe a tepid bell. Just a,
yeah, try Ralph, a tepid how about, bell.
Just graze it.
How about you, Ralph?
Look,
we're fans. We like her. She's funny. She get a bell.
That's what helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I find her funny.
I find her shtick kind of grating.
Okay.
So I go the other way. If I'm on the fence, I'm leaning.
All right.
I'm falling off the fence more than falling on it.
Okay. Just I want it to sound like you literally didn't hit it, but just graze it. Just really.
Just a phantom bell.
Just slightly.
Just a. Something like that, man. Too much?
That's too strong.
All right.
Swaggy P, Nick Young from the L.A. Lakers. He's 32 years old today. And Tom Holland, soon to be your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He's 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you something about our good friend Beer Mug, who has been working here on the Kevin Bean Show for how long now, Mugs?
I would say 10 years since, 2007.
10 years?
Yeah,
I started as an intern. I admire that because the fire beer mug thing started your first year. and he's still here.
He is? Yes. Yeah.
He's a survivor.
That's longevity right there.
Well, Muggs is one of the most beloved members of the cast here. For reals, everybody loves Muggs.
That's
you ever
correct.
Notice that?
It's
everyone
loves impossible Muggs. Not to love Muggs.
Right. Thank
except,
you.
Except for in the meetings.
come on.
I think that's where he shines.
But I think because he's such a nice guy, we all like him so much, I think we skate past his greatest skill, which is that he is a champion speller. Beer Mug is an award-winning speller. What's your resume in this area here, Muggs?
I won my sixth grade spelling bee.
Right, that was your that was your first accomplishment.
That was my first accomplishment.
And then you moved on to what?
Well,
did you go to like the semifinals or a state?
No, it was just final. It was just of my elementary school.
And was that your first year in sixth grade?
Did I say that?
No, you did.
Oh.
Oh, sweetie, I meant that you repeat. Okay.
How dare you?
All right.
All right, I have to ask, Muggs, were there any Asians in your class at all?
Yes, actually, the girl that I beat happened to be Asian.
Wow, so this is legitimate
It's
victory.
Legitimate. And let me say this. I didn't even want to do this spelling bee. Mama Muggs had to really whip me in shape and kind of give me the motivation to do it. She sat down with me. I had my study guide.
Flashcards, everything.
Flashcards, everything. And she propelled me to victory.
What would have given her the belief in you that you could win a spelling bee? And let me just say this. My mom didn't have any thoughts about that with me. So I'm saying, what is it that she saw?
Unconditional love.
Oh, my mom unconditional loved me too, except for I'm not going to go in the spelling bee because she knows that I'm limited.
My mom probably thought I was, somewhat capable.
Yeah, she was just, all right. Look, she was looking around and guessing. Eventually, I'm going to hit upon something that my son can do.
Yeah.
And it turned out that spelling is what it was. Well, I'm glad you're here, Muggs, because there's a story that was all over the internet yesterday. I hope you didn't see it. About America's most misspelled words. Google put this out because the National Spelling Bee is going on right now. So what they have done is they have compiled the top searched how to spell search entries on Google by state. So in other words, the word that Oklahomans go to the internet to figure out how to spell, for instance. And there's some very interesting words on this list. So we thought we might be, it's been a long time since we've done this, we thought it might be fun to once again ask, can Beer Mug spell?
Can Beer Mug spell a word? Can Beer Mug spell a word? I don't think he can, because I forgot to mention in the beginning that he is fat and dumb.
Dumb.
Well, I don't think that's necessary. Wow. I will tell you, though, that I have every
By
confidence.
By the way, that was Beer Mug.
Right?
Beer Mug made that intro where he called himself fat and dumb.
That's just sad.
Self-loathing right there.
Yeah. Right?
I have every confidence that Muggs is going to run the table on this, by the way.
Can Beer Mug spell a word?
I really do. How are you? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I think he'll probably get most of them. And I also just want to put out there that I'm probably responsible for half of California's word searches.
Spell them. By the way, Ali just looked at me and to see if I needed to write things down. I do this all in my head.
I'm very impressed. I don't have to jot it down.
I don't have to jot anything down.
Take it easy.
All right, well, let's run down a few of these, and we'll go ahead and start with California. And by the way, you can draw your own conclusions as to why these words were on the minds of so many residents in the state of California. But the most searched misspelled word in California is beautiful.
Oh, come on.
Beautiful.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. B-E-A-U-T-I-F-U-L.
That's beautiful. Correct.
It's going to be a long bit if you spell stuff so slowly.
The state of Texas most searched for the word maintenance.
Maintenance. M-A-I-N-T-E-N-A-N-C-E. Maintenance.
Well done.
Wow.
I think you're doing it in the form of the spelling bee when you repeat it.
Got it.
All right.
Use it in a sentence, please, Bean.
Arkansas. Now, again, this is one of those Google searches that why would so many people in Arkansas be trying to find how to spell the word chihuahua?
Like, what's going on in Arkansas where they need... It's a tough word, but why are so many people looking for it?
Chihuahua is your word, Muggs.
Chihuahua. C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A.
Wow.
Who's
I did not
really impressed right now?
Chihuahua.
I guarantee I would have missed that one. I think I would have too. That's a tough word. Tough word. My home state of Maryland on the Google search list. Their word is hallelujah. Hallelujah, beer mug.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh boy. H A L E. Oh, I missed an I, didn't I?
You missed another L.
Get off,
double L there.
Get off the stage. I would have been out.
Yep.
That would have been
H-A-L-L. And you know what comes after that?
E.
E-G. Nope. E-L-U-J-A-H. It's a tough word.
B-F-F-N-L-G-Y.
A couple more. If you're just joining us, Beer Mug is spelling the most searched for words on Google state by state. They just... Allie, you were confused by New Hampshire's entry on the
not
list.
Not so much confused as concerned. What is happening in New Hampshire?
Not sure why, Muggs, but the word they most need help figuring out how to spell is diarrhea.
Diarrhea,
ladies and gentlemen.
I struggle with this one.
Spelling it or?
Both. Okay. Diarrhea. D-I-A-H-E-R.
So sorry. D-I-A-R-R-H-E-A.
Yeah.
That's a bogus word.
Yeah.
A couple more.
Can we petition to get words spelled differently so that they make sense?
A couple more. How about Pennsylvania, Ralph's home state? Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut. S-A-U-E-R-K-R-A-U-T. Sauerkraut.
Wow. Well done, Muggs.
100% would have missed that one. Yeah. I would have, yeah.
All right. One more. West Virginia. And this may be the most curious word on the list. Why in West Virginia are the people needing help spelling supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Wow. All right. Here goes. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. S-U-P-E-R. C-A-L-A.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Damn it.
Oh, and so it's Calia, as in California.
Oh.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You did pretty well, Muggs.
You did.
Not bad. I mean, you did all right.
I'm not bad.
You did way better than I would have. Can't beer,
Muggs, spell a word. We already debuted a brand new song from Foo Fighters, which will melt your face. And it's great. And we're going to play it again at the top of the hour. But it's so great to have a surprise like that from Foo Fighters.
Yeah, so
it sure is. So we'll play that for you at 7, and then in the 7 to 7:30 half hour, we'll also get on the line R.J. Bell from Las Vegas from pregame.com. Talk about get your ducks in a row, although the ducks aren't in the NBA Finals. That's an expression. So you can figure out how to make some money off Cleveland versus Golden State. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
This woman in San Diego has married a train depot. She's married a train station. We've had stories like this before where people marry their car or a circus ride. Remember all those? Yeah. We used to highlight those a lot.
Did we have a lady once who she was in love with a roller coaster or something?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And literally consider it their spouse.
And what's that about, by the way? Is that a mental health issue? In other words, is that person crazy, or is it just some sort of a sexual proclivity that somehow they just get turned on by that sort of inanimate object?
I'd like to, for the purposes of this conversation, say that it is not mental illness. That way, it's more fun to enjoy. This woman in San Diego. Now, it's like somebody has a video camera on her but is too far away. So sometimes it's really difficult to hear what she's saying.
Oh, good.
But she's standing in front of the Santa Fe train depot in San Diego, and she's telling her story.
I'm from San Diego, California, and I'm dating a train depot.
Right, so I'm from San Diego, and I'm dating a train depot.
Okay.
Now, Omar has tried to edit out some of the noise so that you can hear her, and this part's a little easier.
Most people know this building over here as the Santa Fe Train Depot, and I know her as my friend, my life partner,
My wife, Deidre Santa Fe.
So she gave her a name. It's Deidre Santa Fe.
Okay. So yes. It's Carol and Deidre, yes. The happy couple. Hey, yes. How do we know the train station is a girl?
She told us, Bean.
Okay.
I mean, she would know. She's married to it.
Oh, that's right. So, right? Forgive me.
What's wrong with you? How long have they been together?
We've been together since the end of the summer 2015. I realized I was in love when I...
Okay, what do you think she's going to say?
I realized I was in love with the moment where she realized it was romantic.
Okay.
Is that what we're asking here?
Yeah. At what point did she realize she was in love with the train station?
I think she was going for a train, and then she didn't make the train, so she had to spend extra time. And that's when they really connected, during that little layover.
Layover, see if what you did. It's a little sadder than that, but...
Oh, no!
Okay.
When I had trouble staying away from her, when I had to go home, I hated it when I had to go home.
She did not like leaving the train station.
Oh, so she was sad being away from the train station.
Yes.
That's when she knew that there was an emotional pull.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I've heard that.
You guys, when it comes to train stations.
All right.
This next part, I can't understand. I'm going to throw it out to you guys. Maybe you can understand it. By the way, some of this dead spot is her, like, hugging a post. And then...
I can't.
And then there's a corner, and she'll just sort of... force her way, just kind of lean back into the corner, and she would say, "This is my favorite spot."
Oh.
Okay, so I think that's what that was. This is my favorite spot here.
Okay.
She's standing in a...
I mean, Deidre picked a great place to be here.
Deidre picked a great place to be because it was a great location.
Oh, the building picked
yes.
it. Yes. Okay.
So she's happy with Deidre's choice.
Okay.
And I love looking out at the other buildings. We watched that building being built together. I love her like I love a person. I have a love person.
I can't hear you.
I'm her princess. She's my queen.
Couldn't they have mic'd her?
Well, I mean, it's not us.
I mean, they're interviewing her. Couldn't they have mic'd her?
No, I think it's a much more janky version of that. It's like maybe somebody with a cell phone or... But they are, you know, 1,000 feet away. And I'm not sure why. She does say in that clip that that Deidre is her princess.
Oh,
okay.
Well, that's sweet.
That's sweet, right? Because she's in love.
Yeah.
Look, there's someone for everyone, right? And we're just happy that she found love.
Right.
If they don't understand why I'm OF, I don't understand why they have to love each other. But I respect them, and I hope the world respects me.
Love is love.
Love is love, right? So she says she doesn't understand it, but she respects people's decision to love each other.
Sure.
And she just hopes the world will understand and love her.
Okay.
And that's what the world's known for, is patience and accepting people who might be a little nutty.
Yeah.
So that's the story of the San Diego woman that married and is in love with the train station.
I hope they're very happy together for a long time.
Same. Congratulations, David Burns from Torrance. Just got tickets to see Phoenix in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock June 9th. And then he's going to get to see the same band play Hollywood Bowl on June 15th. Their chance to win is coming up.
Sweet. Hey, you turn on the news these days or look at your phone, and it's mostly bad news. Am I right? There's very little to get excited or encouraged about.
Correct.
But I think we're turning a corner here because we have just discovered in the last few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show that all of us have seen something in the news in the last 12 hours that has gotten us excited.
Yeah.
This is great news.
I like it. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
All right.
Senate passes bill that would allow later last call times in California bars.
Excellent.
How often have you complained that it's 1, it's 2 a.m. and the city closes and you can't get a drink, you can't even get food.
Yeah.
By the way, what's that about?
I don't know. It's insanity.
I mean, I do feel like most major cities in America, you go to New York, you go to London, you know, I mean, even outside of America, around the world, they seem to have either all night or much later last call times.
Yeah, at least 4.
Right, yeah, 4 a.m., right, because it's a big city and lots of people there are there, and there are a lot of people up at that time of night who still want to be out.
Senator Scott Wiener.
Yeah.
His bill is called the Local Act, and it has become the first bill ever to pass the Senate to allow but not require local communities to extend alcohol sales hours and in bars and restaurants past 2 a.m., and now it's going to be 4 a.m.
Huh.
Finally.
Huh.
So you literally can come from the bar right to K-Rock.
Right. And that's my plan, and that is great news.
All right, I will piggyback on your great news. Give me a little great news. You know how I always am talking about how I want to take a trip?
Yes.
And Dr. Drew is always the buzzkill who says he doesn't recommend it, right? Every time I say, hey, Dr. Drew, I want to do some mushrooms or something, right?
Oh, okay. I thought you were
that kind of trip.
I thought you were about traveling.
No. Dr. Drew is always the guy who's always trying to talk me out of doing the mushrooms because I always think that's the psychedelic drug for me. Look,
I'll give you $1,000 if you'll do it.
Yeah. Look, this is Bean, and you guys should know that I do no drugs,
right,
and I don't even drink, okay?
Right.
But I've always been fascinated with what that psychedelic experience is for the brain. I'd hate to think that I'm going to live and die and never know what that is like because I've heard so many great things about it.
Right.
And Dr. Drew is always like, oh, it can go bad. Oh, it can scrub your brain forever. Oh, you may end up in a mental hospital.
Why does he talk like that?
You know how
whiny he gets.
Well, listen to this. A global drug survey was just published yesterday that says mushrooms are the safest recreational drug that you can take. They polled 120,000 people in 50 countries, and they found out those who did mushrooms last year, only 0.2% of them needed emergency medical care afterwards. That is 5 to 6 times lower than LSD, cocaine, MDMA, and alcohol, and even 3 times lower than weed. Huh. You know how almost never do you smoke weed and end up in the emergency room, right?
Right.
That's 3 times more likely than if you do mushrooms. So I think I'm in.
I think you should.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah. Not everybody.
Yeah, not everybody. Just Bean.
They say, of course, the possibility still exists that you could have a bad trip, but you take some precautions. You know, you don't mix your mushrooms with alcohol. You do it with trusted company in a safe place. You know, you make sure that you don't get hurt, something like that. But 84 – and one final note. 84% of mushroom users who had a bad trip said they actually benefited from the experience.
Huh.
So it sounds like there's nothing but wins in here.
I think one
of these days we're going to do the Beat on Mushroom show, and it's going to be effing awesome.
I can't wait for that.
This is my great news.
Sorry, do it again.
This is my great news.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice. Hey, you guys. I've got some great news. Oh, Kevin.
Sorry, do it again.
Great news. I was a little late to this trend. And now I feel like it's okay. I don't have to do it. This trend, putting ground up wasp nests into your vagina to tighten muscles.
What?
Hold up. Okay. Yeah.
Hold up.
Uh-huh.
This is a trend that already is happening?
Supposedly. I have never heard of it, but now they're warning against it.
Is this on Goop? By any stretch?
Shockingly, no. This is, I've seen 3 different articles today on it. It's an all-natural treatment to rejuvenate and tighten your hoo-ha. And you may say, well, what, you just shove the ground-up wasp nests up there? No. It's oak galls. That's tree deformities caused by wasp nests. And you make it into a paste. And then you put that paste.
This might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Here's the thing.
Let the lady talk.
All right, sorry.
Thank you. Besides rejuvenating and tightening your hoo-ha muscles, it's also doing things like leading to painful sex, wiping out all the healthy bacteria, and increasing your risk of contracting HIV.
So your great news is that you haven't done this yet.
I haven't tried it. I mean, it's been back-ordered. I've been waiting for it to arrive.
Every day you look
Every day I'm like, come on, oak galls. Yeah, but here's the thing. When it says that it can improve your sex life and be used on cuts, but the warning is the paste might burn, I think maybe you heed that warning that you don't put something up your hoo-ha that will burn.
I mean, that makes sense.
It makes sense. So gynecologists are saying, what's wrong, lady? Stop doing that. Just stop.
So you don't have to now.
I don't have to.
A doctor is coming out and saying, don't put wasp's nest up your vagina?
I know.
Why are they uptight, huh?
Right?
And this is
Great news.
Revivalists on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. We came in first thing this morning and found a new Foo Fighters song called Run.
Just found one? What was it, like laying on the floor?
It was on the in the hallway.
Wow,
on the floor.
Jeez, yeah. I'm glad the cleaning crew didn't sweep it up and put it in the music bin.
I mean, it was a surprise. We did not know it was coming, and it's awesome, and we're going to play it for you right after the Showbiz Beat. So stick around for that.
Ralph is here now. Time to take a look at what's going on in Hollywood on a Thursday morning. What's up?
No surprise, CNN has dropped Kathy Griffin after she posted that controversial photo of herself holding a fake bloodied severed head, which was obviously meant to look like the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, despite her issuing a public apology and agreeing that the photo went too far. CNN announced they were terminating their relationship with Kathy as a long-running co-host of their New Year's Eve show with Anderson Cooper. Even Anderson couldn't really stand by her in this particular case because everyone agreed that she crossed the line. And plus, Barron was terrified. Is anyone buy into that at all?
I don't at all. I don't.
I mean, is it possible he came across that image? Yes. I mean, 11-year-olds are all over social media.
He could have seen it. Did he think Kathy Griffin really cut her dad's head off?
No, I don't think so.
And was he thought that thought thing. That was real? He thought the picture was real?
Okay, yeah. No. But is it possible that he saw it and
was upset?
Was upset about it, maybe?
Sure. But it doesn't seem like...
Yes, of course.
He was being used as a human shield by someone.
Yes, of course.
A political that is also possible. Shield.
Doesn't it seem...
Yes.
Sort of... Sad. Do that.
Wrong.
Sick.
Wrong.
Didn't it seem?
Yeah.
Just like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been.
Right. Kendall Jenner's the new face of Adidas. The 21-year-old revealed that she is the new Adidas official brand ambassador. So I'm looking forward to her giving a pair of shoes to a cop in a commercial sometime soon. I'm looking forward to that happening.
Now, do we wear those when we go to the fire festival that she's promoting?
I think you do, yes.
Okay.
And then set yourself on fire. I don't know if anybody saw it on Sunday. A lot of people were talking about it. Billionaire Robert Bigelow was interviewed on 60 Minutes. He is a real estate mogul and the founder of an aerospace company called Bigelow Aerospace, appropriately enough. He not only believes in aliens.
All right.
But Bobby Bigelow, well, I'll let him tell you himself.
Do you imagine that in our space travels we will encounter other forms of intelligent life?
You don't have to go anywhere.
You can find it here.
Yeah.
Where exactly?
It's just like right under people's noses. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Wow, there are aliens living among us here on Earth.
I can't believe I missed this, Ralph. I can't believe I don't know anything about this guy.
First of all, it was on 60 Minutes, and it's about aliens.
How did you, of all people, miss it? That's what I can't believe. I'm just missing it. Why are they interviewing this dude on 60 Minutes if he's such a nut job?
He's not a nut job at all.
Oh, he's not.
He's a billionaire who owns his own aerospace company,
mm-hmm.
and he has a side business that he has spent millions and millions of his own dollars on, which is a company that looks into unexplained UFOs phenomenon, aerospace phenomenon, so much so that the government, including NASA, will forward him incidents of anything that seems unexplainable.
Is that right?
So he says. And he says he has spent more individually than any other person on the planet researching extraterrestrial life. Said his grandparents were visited by an alien. He himself has had close encounters of the first, third, and second, and fourth, and fifth kinds.
So he showed the proof on 60 Minutes?
Well, Kevin, he didn't want to get into details.
So he had a picture?
He didn't really bust out any photographic evidence.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But he wants everyone to know that...
a sample of the skin of one of them?
He did bring out that. He did bring out a sample of the skin of one of them. But he said that, he wants everyone to know that they're living among us. And
all right.
Was that Laura Logan doing the interview?
It was Laura Logan, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to watch that interview the second we get off the air today. I'm excited by this news. By the way, I 100% believe there's life on other worlds. 100%. Right. Mm-hmm. I also 99% believe none of them have ever come to Earth.
Why would you believe that? If you believe they're able to live somewhere else, why can't they travel in their own little space shuttle?
Because there's no evidence that they've ever been to Earth. That's why.
Well,
this guy just said it, Bean.
I believe Mr. Bigelow.
All right. He just said it.
That's a great tip, Ralph. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're living among us. Right? Some of them on islands?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. He didn't happen to see this interview on 60 Minutes about aliens with Laura Logan, who he watches pants down. This is the one video he missed. This time Bean didn't see it first.
Wouldn't
right?
It be awesome if he was an alien?
Wouldn't that explain everything?
It would. We would really? All go, okay.
Of course.
It all makes sense.
That's why. He's studying us. He's trying to be like us. He's adorable now because he's trying to mimic us and behave like we are.
But I'm very human-like.
You're
human-like.
You're humanoid. You're absolutely humanoid.
You are adorable.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman. Right?
Right.
Right.
God himself.
He won an Academy Award at one point, didn't he?
He must have.
I think so.
Right? Didn't they give him one?
Had to have won.
I mean, I assume they did.
Shawshank or something, right?
Andy Dufresne was my friend. He went through a hole in a wall behind a poster. It's my one-man show, Shawshank. I hope you all check it out. He's 80 years old today. Heidi Klum.
He won, Dave says.
Oh, for Million Dollar Baby. He
really?
Didn't win, yeah, but nominated for Invictus, Shawshank.
I forgot he was in Million Dollar Baby.
Same.
Driving Miss Daisy and
Glory,
Street Smart.
All those other things?
Yeah.
Nothing?
No.
Oh, Street Smart. He was great in Street Smart. That was
kind
of his breakthrough.
Driving
role.
Miss Daisy, too.
He's trying to drive you to the snow.
He's great in everything.
It's really interesting.
Beer Mug waves in. Don't forget about Last Vegas.
Thanks, Mugs.
Yeah. His powerful performance in Las Vegas.
His greatest performance ever.
I can't believe he wasn't nominated for that. I want to drink some kamikazes. With the famous line from that. Heidi Klum's 44. Alanis Morissette's 43. Amy Schumer, comedian and actress, is 36 years old today. And Swaggy P. Nick Young from the Los Angeles Lakers is 32. And Tom Holland, soon to be seen everywhere as Spider-Man. He's 21 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. New Foo Fighters next.
That is the way to wake up.
Woo! Allie, did I see headbanging going on right there?
There was headbanging.
Did I see you shaking your ponytail?
There's lots of boning. I mean, that is awesome.
I know I said this earlier. Please forgive me for repeating myself. But usually there's a ramp up when there's a major new release by a big K-Rock act. Right. As we get the word a couple of weeks out in advance. It's because they got a strategy that they're planning. That's not what happened with this song at all today. It just shows up out of nowhere. And now all of a sudden we've got new Foo Fighters music, which is just best possible. It's like a Christmas. What?
Wait,
Dave?
I think that's Dave.
We have Dave Grohl on the phone.
No way. Dave.
C'est moi.
What are you doing, sir?
Well, you know, it's another beautiful morning here in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So,
calling in with the weather forecast.
That's right. You know, here we've got a low-level cloud layer that's causing a little bit of mist and fog around the Sepulveda Basin.
Right.
And I expect it to clear up around maybe 11, 12, and then it'll be a beautiful day.
Dave, why are we playing a new Foo Fighters song today? I'm thrilled we are, but why are we?
Well, we recorded it, and then we made a video for it.
Right.
And then we thought, well, a good way to get everybody to know that we have a new song is to give it to you so that they can hear it.
Tell us about the new song.
It's something that we came up with not too long ago, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. And it's called Run. And, you know, we're about to go out and do a bunch of shows this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of felt weird going out with on tour without anything new to play. And so we thought we'd offer this up before we go out.
What shows are you playing this summer?
We're doing a bunch of festivals in Europe. We're playing, like, Iceland and Latvia and Scandinavia. And we're doing the Glastonbury Festival in England. We're going to Paris and doing some stuff in Spain and kind of bouncing around a little bit. It's been a while. We haven't been on the road for a couple of years, and we miss it, so we're going back out.
Do you look at it like this is going to be fantastic, or there's a sure a lot coming up on your schedule? How do you look at it that way?
Well, you know, the last time we were on the road, I couldn't even walk.
You were in,
it was kind of weird.
You were in a throne. You did.
Yeah, you got to sit.
I was sitting down, screaming and drinking Jägermeister from my cup holder for months. And then when we were done with that tour, it was like everybody needed to kind of take a break. We've been out for over a year, and I had to kind of start being able to walk around and run around again. And then, you know, we're restless the way we work. We're actually friends too, so we keep in touch when we're not on tour, and we just like to play. And so we'll get together and jam and write, and we have our own studio. We'll record stuff every now and then, but we do miss playing. I mean, we played the other day at that Bottle Rock Festival.
Right.
That was the first time we'd been on a big stage in front of a bunch of people in almost 2 years. It was amazing.
And at least the electricity went out.
You know, here's the thing. If you're going to pull the plug, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to stop.
Right.
So, but we were close. I mean, they could have given us that one extra minute, you know.
They were not. But it was so seamless. Like, how you guys are so obviously in tune with each other, but you didn't miss a beat.
No, we just wanted to finish our song. We had a little bit more to go.
I was just telling somebody about seeing you at Lollapalooza when it was raining like crazy.
Oh, that too, yeah.
And everybody left, and you again didn't miss a beat. You guys just want to keep playing all the time.
I mean, honestly, I love that. We play pizza parlors and through hurricanes. We just kind of like to play. So, whenever something like that happens, it usually kind of creates a moment too, you know, when something's keeping you from playing and then you keep playing, like if you break your leg, what do? Like,
right.
Just keep playing, you know? So it was another one of those.
It's sort of cool to hear a band say, we really like each other and we keep in touch when we're not touring. I mean, we have so many bands that need a break from each other.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've always been kind of good at that. We've always been good at knowing when we should take a break or when we should go out and start doing stuff. And fortunately, I mean, we've been a band for almost 22 years now. So
that's crazy.
At this point, it's like we just kind of know, you know. And after you're on the road for a year and a half or 2 years, I mean, at the end of every touring cycle, I say, F this. I am never doing this again.
Right.
I can't stand it. And then I come home for like about 3.5-4 months. I'm like, oh my God, get me back out of the road. Every single time.
Is it you or is it your wife that says you need to get back out on the road?
It's kind of a mutual agreement that we have.
I see.
You know, got to keep the mansion running. You know what I mean?
When are we going to see you in Southern California?
Not too far off, I don't think. We're going to be doing lots of fun things in the near future.
Very cryptic. Very cryptic.
So we have a whole plan right now.
And the plan would include a Southern California date of?
We're probably going to play a cool show soon-ish.
Like soon before you leave for this leg of your tour?
You know, this is why I'm not a publicist.
Listen.
Put me in front of a microphone and we'll be just fine.
He's getting very nervous.
We're going to break you.
I don't know. Okay. I've got a will of steel. You know that, right? And I can always lie and say that, you know, it's tomorrow. We're playing the Roxy tomorrow, everybody. Come down to the Roxy.
But that's a lie.
Maybe.
Oh, you're good.
You're good.
Damn. Actually, we're not. That would be a total nightmare if I just jacked up the Roxy like that.
Yeah, don't do it.
So you're not doing that. But you are going to play soon, and we can look for that.
You can look for that. Right. And pretty soon we're going to make an announcement about all the fun things that we're going to do this year.
And a new album?
We'll see. I don't know. You'll just have to read our little Twitter feeder thingy.
Well said, Dave. We're very happy anytime we have a song from Foo Fighters. You know that. We're always happy to have you guys on the show. And thank you for calling in today.
I'm stoked. I can't wait. See you guys.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Bye.
So you wake up and you go, all right, it's just going to be another Thursday. Mm-hmm. And you come into work and there's a new Foo Fighters song. And then Dave Grohl calls.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
It was fun.
All right.
It's great to talk to Dave. And let me just say this, by the way, and stand by, RJ Bell. We'll get to you in one second. Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. King of Mexico, killing it today. Now, maybe he didn't have anything to do with Dave Grohl calling in, okay? But he gave us the good news. And now he's telling me that we're going to have Carson Daly coming up in about 15 minutes.
Oh, the coffee wars are on.
Ralph declared war on Carson Daly down the hall at Amp Radio yesterday because Carson's people are not refilling the coffee pot after they pour themselves a steaming cup, okay?
Even worse, they're turning it off.
So Ralph goes down there, and the coffee pot is off.
and there's no new coffee made. And that's unacceptable in any office situation.
Correct.
And apparently Carson has agreed to come on, and we're going to talk to him coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, NBA Finals tonight, Game 1. Who you got, Golden State or Cleveland? Let's go out to Las Vegas and talk to our good friend R.J. Bell.
Cause he's R.J.
RJ is the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Mr. Bell, welcome back, sir. How you been?
Awesome. I thought you were going to say Dave pulled a real coup. We've got RJ. He squeezed us in.
I was
going to say no, guys, anytime.
No,
anytime.
That too.
Yeah, I meant that.
We're as excited to talk to you as we were Dave Grohl.
Listen, I get it. You know, there's probably 20 people in the world that would say that, and the other 99.999, no.
So, RJ, how big is the NBA Finals in your city, in your line of work?
It's interesting because when it comes to attention, you know, where a mainstream media outlet with massive success like Kevin and Bean, for example, wants to talk about it, it's right there. You know, it's not the Super Bowl, obviously, but it's a big conversation topic. On the other hand, when it comes to raw betting, it's very modest relative to, you know, the Super Bowl or whatever. So interest is there, but the betting action, not near as much.
Do you think it's because the Super Bowl is one game and these are series? It's a series of seven games.
If anything, I think the series is an advantage. It's like a seven-part, like an HBO miniseries. You get engaged and there's ebbs and flows.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think that's an advantage for interest. Here's the disadvantage, and I'll be technical but really quick. If you're not betting basketball anyway, it's a lot of hassle to kind of ramp up. If you live in Nevada, it's no big deal, right? You can bet like going to the 7-Eleven.
Right.
But if you're not in Nevada, you've got to ramp up your account, load it up with money, and then it's only for a handful of games, and then it's a couple months till football. So because it's a couple months after March Madness and a couple months before football, people usually don't want to mess or the recreational bettors don't want to ramp up.
All right, so let me ask you this, because I'm always fascinated, RJ, when we talk to you and you talk about the difference between what the wise guys say they want to do versus what the public's interest is. When you have 3 years in a row of these two same teams going at it in the finals, even a casual fan now knows who Steph Curry is or who LeBron James is. That's got to pump up interest, too, because these are stars.
Absolutely, and I would make the case that, you know, I grew up, I was a teen in the 80s, and Magic Bird, right? Any NBA fan can remember those classic finals. I have a feeling in 10 or 15 years, people are going to look back at these three, the trilogy, and assuming there could be a fourth, obviously, next year, and say these were some of the classics. And last year, LeBron winning was a legacy saver. Now, listen, he was always going to be a top five player. Like, the path he's been on, top five player of all time. But literally after last year's win, coming back down 3-1, winning a game 7 on the road, very difficult. LeBron did it. First title ever for the Cavs in Cleveland. It really changed the narrative to now serious people are discussing him, LeBron, or Michael Jordan. And by the way, if you look at the history of LeBron in the finals, if he would have lost last year, he would have been 2-5 in the finals.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to be the best of all time if you're 2-5.
But I'll just say the NBA has morphed into a league where one guy can't win it for the most part.
You're right, but one guy never could win it, right? If Jordan is the epitome, and I think that's true, is before he got Pippen, they didn't win it. I mean, there was years and years that the Bulls couldn't beat the Celtics, and then they couldn't beat the Pistons, and finally they got enough supporting cast. And now I'll tell you this. You put LeBron on any team. Like, the Lakers had a really bad year this year, right?
Yep.
A lot of optimism, number two pick, and all that stuff coming up. But if you would have put LeBron on the Lakers this year, like go back in time, Lakers probably would have been the third seed in the West, would be my guess.
Wow. Now,
he could make that much of a difference.
All right, who is favored to win the series?
Golden State is clear favorites to win this series. So money lines are the way you can bet a series. So you have to bet more to win less on the favorite. So in this case, Golden State is minus 260. So $260 wins you 100. And if you like LeBron in Cleveland, 100 wins you 230. Now, we've got a pros versus Joes split. The pros, the guys that bet for a living, they love Golden State. They think this Golden State team is better than last year's team that had the most wins in history of the regular season.
Because they added Kevin Durant, right?
They added Kevin Durant. And if you look, they didn't win as many games, but their point differential was better, which the sabermetric guys actually respect even more.
And they've ripped through the playoffs without losing a single game.
First team ever. The Lakers way back. Now, a lot of L.A. people are thinking, wait a minute, the Lakers were undefeated one year in the early 2000s. Yeah, but they only had to win 11 games because it was a five-game series in the first round. So first 12-0 team ever. They are the clear favorite. So if you do the math, it's saying 70% chance Golden State wins, 30% Cleveland.
Okay, because of the total dominance between these two teams representing the West and the East, we've seen sweeps or near sweeps in a lot of series, and especially here in the playoffs. There's no chance of a sweep in the finals, I would imagine. So that's got to be big, big money if somebody can get in on that and it happens, right?
Well, it matters which team sweeps. Golden State sweeping is certainly an underdog, but it's not that big of an underdog. If you say, okay, I am so optimistic about the Warriors, I think they're going to sweep, 100 wins you 800. So 8-1.
Okay.
So yes, an underdog, but not huge. Now the Cavs sweeping 50-1. So if you have a ton of optimism,
wow,
100 wins you 5,000. And I'll tell you this, guys, we were talking about the pros versus the Joes. Pros, we said Golden State. Joes, they love this concept. You know, a recreational bettor likes two things. They like to bet a little to win a lot. They like a big payoff, almost like a lottery, right? People love the lottery.
Right.
And they also love to bet a team they can really believe in, like feel good about. You guys, we've been doing NFL picks for 3 years. You know I'm a contrarian. I'm playing the Browns a lot. I'm playing the worst teams because that's where the value is. Well, regular bettors, they want to be on the better teams. Usually you don't get both. You don't get a good, really good team and a big payoff. Well, that's what you get here. If you think about the recreational bettor, they're saying, wait a minute, I get LeBron James, the best player of the century, and I'm getting plus 230, where 100 wins me more than double. So that's why the recreational bettor, this is a dream for them. They're getting two things they love, and they're betting Cleveland heavy.
Good stuff. You can find out all the breakdowns, by the way, at pregame.com. There's so many angles to this and so many different things you can bet on. Like, you can bet on who the MVP is, for instance, right, RJ?
Yeah, and I actually like, and again, just a friendly tip here. I actually like Durant here because Curry has trouble in physical series, and the finals is almost always physical. And obviously Durant, the narrative is there if Golden State wins that, hey, Durant made the difference. So right now, if you like Durant to win the MVP, 100 wins you 200, 2-1 underdog.
All right. You can follow our man on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website, again, is pregame.com. And by the way, Kimberly writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account. She's so excited. My kids and I have been waiting for RJ in Vegas so long just to hear his jingle again. So we'll close with that, RJ, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Only a few months till football.
'Cause he's RJ. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Yesterday on the program, Ralph unleashed the hounds of hell. And I got to tell you, Ralph, it's been a long time since you've unleashed the hounds of hell, but you were serious yesterday.
Well, no pun intended, but it had been brewing for some time. I just, listen, coffee is the fuel of morning radio. Without it cannot be done. You can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get your job done without copious amounts of caffeine.
All right, fair enough.
And we share a kitchen with our sister station, AMP, down the hallway. And
how's that been going?
And situations have escalated to the point where it's no longer acceptable.
Oh.
And now war must be declared. First of all, they got everything. They got the freaking green room down there. It's got a masseuse and a steam room.
Yeah, it's insane.
And there's a red velvet rope in front of it. You got to grease a door guy to get into it. It's nuts. They got a bank of phone screeners. Looks like they're running a telethon down there. I don't know what kind of money they're spending on AMP. But we are obviously the redheaded stepchild of the franchise.
Our office is a lean-to, so we're not exactly
a yurt. And all I want is a pot of coffee.
So yesterday you called out because, you know, what's the expression about the fish heads sinking from the top or whatever,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I believe a fish stinks from the head down, maybe.
There you go. Thank you. So ultimately, whose fault did you determine it was that we're getting ripped off in the coffee department?
If someone were to have a problem, and I didn't even mention what the problem is, but I go to get coffee at that kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and the empty pot is left there with no coffee in it on the burner.
Or, just one time, though. That just happened once?
No, constantly. We go down there. Beer mug will go down there. Any of us will go down there and get a cup of coffee. Nothing. Someone has taken the coffee, emptied the pot into their cup, and then left the empty pot behind and walked out without making another cup of coffee.
Oh, dear.
And to add insult to injury, sometimes they'll click off the burner as if, boop,
they turn it off.
Oh, what is it, 6 o'clock? I guess no one else wants coffee. Wrong!
So who's responsible for Amp?
Well, I'm going to say, if someone had a problem with the morning show on K-Rock, who would they talk to?
Bean and I.
Right. So I'm thinking we got to talk to the president of AMP, Carson Daly.
Yay!
Carson. Hey, Carson.
What is wrong with you, Ralph? First of all, you guys have your own freaking kitchen. We don't share kitchens. You've got your own right down the hallway. And have you seen your coffee machine? It's like $5,000. It's the fanciest thing I've ever seen.
What are you talking about?
It actually says K-Rock on it. You press a button, you get your latte, you get your coffee. I got a picture of it. Why are you even coming into our kitchen?
Yeah, it is true.
We have a kitchen?
Yeah, it's past it to get to that expensive coffee machine.
Wait, what's our kitchen? We have a kitchen?
Yes.
You have a lovely K-Rock First Choice Coffee Services coffee, espresso, lattes, vanilla drinks, chocolate drinks, flavored shots, hot water.
Kevin and Ralph literally look shocked right now.
Wait.
Are you serious?
Wait, where is the K-Rock kitchen?
You know where
between
the
mailroom and Weatherly's office.
Where
by
the lockers
foosball.
Are?
What, where they keep that cage full of T-shirts and the lockers?
Yes, on the other side
with
of
the smelly sweat
same
socks?
Distance.
That's a kitchen?
When you walk out of this studio and come by my studio and go to our kitchen, which, by the way, your issue is with 10 a.m. and beyond. Your issue is with AMP proper, not the morning show.
Oh, no, sir.
None of us drink.
No, sir.
None of us. None of our phone ops there for the telethon. Nobody's drinking coffee.
Oh,
over there.
No one drinks coffee on the morning show.
I go to Starbucks on La Cienega every single morning at the same time and get my coffee. You can. It's an hour. You can go talk to the girls there. So I don't do it.
So who's
Sarah drinks Diet Coke?
Who's turning it off? Who's turning it off?
Who's
then?
Drinking all the coffee and turning off the machine?
We leave here at 10:01, just like the Flintstones.
When but we're talking
blow the whistle,
about,
we're out of here.
We're talking about pre-10 a.m.
Yeah, I'm not here after 10 a.m. either.
So your problem is either in the overnights with Gouda, and I can give you his number, or it's after 10
no,
o'clock.
No, it's midday, Carson. I will make a pot of coffee at 7 a.m. I go back at 7:45, and the pot is emptied, and the burner has been turned off.
I have a question.
Just make a
in
pot of coffee.
In the immortal words of Shaggy, it wasn't me.
I have a question. K-Rock has a kitchen?
Oh, for the love.
Yes.
And listen, I don't know.
And by the way, as a morning show, the United States is about to join Syria and Nicaragua as the only countries not in the Paris Climate Accord, and this is what you guys choose to talk about?
This is the important thing.
Yeah. You know why? Because all politics is local, my friend. I don't even know what that means.
Something locally, something globally. All right.
If I can mediate here real quick, just from what I'm hearing from both sides here, it sounds like Ralph has been crashing the AMP kitchen where he's, where he's not welcome, first
but
of all.
No, he's very welcome. No, he's welcome. Yeah, our water situation is not bad. We have two choices of cold water, but the coffee situation is not good.
I would bet I'm very welcome there because I keep making fresh pots of coffee every time. I walk in
you're
there.
The only one.
Yes, you're damn right I am.
Part two is it possible what Carson is saying is true, that it's nobody on his highly rated Carson Daly morning show, it's somebody else who works at AMP that's showing up in the sales department at 8:30 or something like that and going down there for a cup of joe.
That's
somebody
possible.
That Carson doesn't even know
that's
is
possible.
Doing it, maybe.
Carson, somebody needs to lose their job. And we want to hear about it tomorrow. We want to report
you want
tomorrow.
A sacrificial lamb?
Who am I supposed to fire?
Whoever. You need to do the research. It's your station. It's not our station.
Elaine and Tamara answer phones. They barely get paid. In fact, Tamara uses your kitchen, to be honest with you. She goes to the fancy K-Rock latte
that's
machine.
That's not okay as well.
Well, that's
by
a
way, she's using the kitchen that machine you're talking about. That looks like some weird Japanese vending machine. I don't know how old that coffee is inside that box. That's not even natural.
It's yours, though.
To have a box full of coffee and milk and stuff and everything.
I'm going to have producer Angie give me a list of all the AMP employees.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a dart at it. Someone's going to get fired.
That's all we're looking for.
Problems around here.
And then you'll come on
you're
tomorrow.
You're saving millions of lives by sacrificing one.
That's right. I was an intern at K-Rock once. I know what it's like.
All right. So we're good now.
So I take that as a W.
Pending tomorrow's report.
That's
pending
right.
Tomorrow's
as
report.
As long as there's a corpse on the floor tomorrow, that's all we care about.
Someone dies.
All right.
Thank you, Carson.
I got to go.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Our friend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show on CBS Radio, joins us just after 8 like we do every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk all things sports. And then next hour as well, by the way, Dr. Drew is going to come on with a very controversial opinion. He's defending Kathy Griffin for the photograph with the president's head.
Is he the only person in the world that's doing that?
Yeah. I think, Ralph, hasn't Kathy Griffin even turned on Kathy Griffin at this point?
She gave a very heartfelt apology where she said she realized that she made a mistake and went too far, that the image was too disturbing and she should not have published it. And she not only took it down herself, but asked the photographer, Robert Shields, I guess it is?
Tyler,
to take it down as well.
It seemed genuine, too.
Yeah, well, we'll see how Dr. Drew works his way out of that one then. That's all coming up on
right?
breakfast.
Let's get him in trouble.
Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Not everybody likes Trump.
What?
Robert De Niro does not care for President Donald J. Trump. Of course, during the election, he did mention he wanted to punch him in the face. He since has
punch him in the face.
Yeah, he has acknowledged that he really can no longer do that.
Right.
He can't really punch the president.
Right. Right.
But he, on Sunday, was the speaker at the graduating ceremonies of Brown University. They asked Robert De Niro to come along and give the speech. And surprisingly, he was very funny. He first off asked the graduates of Brown University, are you sure you want to do this? Meaning leaving college. And here's how he, in Hollywood terms, how he talked about the country.
In movie terms, when you started school, the country was an inspiring, uplifting drama. You're graduating into a tragic, dumbass comedy.
Yeah, the audience responded. So it was actually very funny. But he told them just stay in school. Lock the gates and just stay in school for a while.
At their graduation.
Yes. Which I guess if you could, you would, right? Jennifer Garner wants people to know that she had nothing to do with the People magazine cover.
What's
that she
has
featured this week. There's a photo of her posing, looking to the camera, and it talks about life after heartbreak. And it looks very much like an exclusive interview, but they just took a photo and they just wrote a story.
Oh.
Yeah. So she is going public with the fact that she did not pose for the cover. She did not participate in the article.
That's odd that they can still do that.
Yeah. Well, it's all very smoke and mirrors. You know, they never come out and say specifically, oh, she sat down for an interview regarding.
Right.
But the way they position it and posture it on the cover, it looks very much like that. So she wanted to let everyone know that she did not participate in the article. That a lot of it is just sources say kind of stuff. And she said she's got 3 kids to deal with and she's not interested in sharing any details about the breakup between her and their dad. So, understandably, she would like some privacy, but it's not in the cards for showbiz folks. And Haley Steinfeld is in the news. Remember when you saw her in True Grit with Jeff Bridges? Do you remember the first time you saw her? Did you ever see that movie, Kevin?
I don't think so.
Ow. Sorry.
Ow. Ow.
Ow.
You all right?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that was your big breakout role where we all went, wow, she's so young, but
she's
such a great actress.
12, 13 years old, and she blew everyone away with her amazing performance. And we all said, she is going to be the next fill-in-the-blank. Jodie Foster, Chloe Grace Moretz, just one of those type super amazing, talented kids who goes off to a classy and wonderful career. And then she became friends with Taylor Swift. And I was like, well, there goes that dream right out the window.
That's a dream crusher right there.
She's part of the squad. And then she started singing like pop music and showing up at the iHeart Radio Fest or whatever. And she's just sort of squandered her cachet that initially everyone thought, this kid is going to be something special. And now I think that transformation is complete.
Oh,
no
is
pun
right?
intended. Because she reportedly is going to star in the new Transformers spinoff called Bumblebee.
Oh, Haley.
Where she will be a tomboy mechanic who comes across a black and yellow striped car.
You mean like Megan Fox?
That turns into, you got it, the Autobot that we all know and love as Bumblebee.
Yay!
That's exactly the original.
Well.
Exactly. Megan Fox's dad taught her how to fix cars, remember?
Just watch it this weekend. No. You did not.
Listen to the outrage in your voice and then the admission.
I'm saying that's exactly what happened.
You did not spend time watching the first Transformers movie this past weekend.
I may have.
But you're too behind on every show that's current. Kevin.
But it's very different than the reboot, which had Mark Wahlberg accidentally finding a truck that turned out to be an Autobot. So this is different because it's Haley Steinfeld and she's a tomboy mechanic.
I see.
And it's, I love, hey, what's this car all about? Whoa! I think we have a Transformer, she says at one point. So Haley, right? I mean, Taylor Swift is one thing. That's
right,
bad enough.
That's bad, right.
But then to go to the Transformers and Michael Bay? Oh, Haley. Oh, Haley.
I want to get back to Kevin for just a minute. How is that a choice?
Actually, the first Transformers is pretty good.
Think
worth seeing again?
Yeah, it's a pretty fun watch.
It's
a good time. It's a pretty good time.
Michael Bay is one of the most hardworking and creative directors in film history and is better than Steven Spielberg.
Not sure that's true, but it's fun.
It's a fun watch. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman is 80 years old today. Heidi Klum turns 44. Amy Schumer's 36. Nick Young, known as Swaggy P. For your L.A. Lakers, he is 32 years old. Tom Holland, Spider-Man, turns 21. And Alanis Morissette!
It's not fair.
There was a time in music, kids, where all the girl singers went, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those were good days. She is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, I feel like it's been almost an hour since we played that new Foo Fighters song. And that's coming up again, right? We got to play that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Playing that again. Talk to Dave
Thursday
Grohl,
morning.
Too.
Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show is one of our favorites because right about this time we catch up with our good friend Jim Rohn, jimrohn.com, to hear the show from 9 till noon. You can also get the podcast, same site, or play.it and iTunes. Mr. Rohn, how are you, sir?
Guys, great. Was that the world premiere of the new Foo Fighters?
Well, it kind of showed up on our doorstep overnight, so we put it on first thing this morning at 5:30. I cannot comment on what time anybody else played it,
Let's just go with yes.
That was as early as we could possibly play it, so we did.
Doesn't matter until you guys play it, so I'm going to say yes, it was the world premiere. I missed it, but I'll get it next time.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh,
it's so great. I mean, it rocks hard, and there's not many people doing rock anymore, so we love that. So, all right, Jim, there's a lot going on right now. This is that busy time in sports, and I've always wondered why the NBA and the NHL can't get together and move somebody's schedule a little bit so that both finals aren't going on at the same time, but here we are again. Where do you want to start?
You know, I have the same kind of concern. I could answer that question if I knew the answer to it, but I don't. But here we are head-to-head. Why don't we start with the NBA Finals? And it's up to you guys. We could talk about the matchup itself, or we could talk about that really unfortunate incident where somebody spray-painted a racial slur on the front gate of LeBron's home in Brentwood. Your choice.
Yeah, that's so crazy that still happens.
So sad.
Isn't it?
So depressing. And there has to be a camera on LeBron's house. Are there any leads on who this jackhole was?
Yeah, jackhole is the right way to put it, too. It is so unfortunate, but I think that he said it best. He stepped up. He held a very difficult situation when he said racism will always be a part of the world, a part of America, that hate in America, especially for African Americans, is living every day. He's so right. Now, in terms of a lead, there is a property manager who said that there was a video camera, there was some surveillance. I'm guessing they've got a pretty good chance of running this guy down. But my biggest takeaway from this is you've got LeBron, who handled a really difficult situation as well as you could. Plenty of athletes don't want to take a stand. They don't want to touch social issues. They don't want to put themselves out there. But not only was he comfortable doing it, he obviously feels like he's got a responsibility. So Hall of Famer on the court, role model off it. He handled it very well.
I agree with you 100%, and I also think it's worth repeating what he said, too, which is it doesn't matter how rich you are.
I have a clip.
Of LeBron saying it at the press conference yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's good.
No matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, you know, being black in America is tough. And we got a long way to go. You know, for us as a society and for us as African Americans until we feel equal.
That's an important thing for a role model to say and an important thing for all people to hear, I think.
It's so true. And not only that, but he also made the point that as unfortunate as this was, and I hated that my family had to go through it, I'm glad that it happened because it advances the conversation. And he went as far as to say that if it happened again to his family, he'd be fine with that too because it would only give us another opportunity to talk about it further.
Wow.
That's really unusual. I mean, who says that? That's really unusual.
All right, 6 o'clock, ABC tonight, game one, Cleveland versus Golden State, the rematch, third year in a row. You know, a lot of times in sports you get bored with seeing the same teams in the championship. Not this time around. I think we would have been disappointed if it were any teams other than these two, Jim.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Because when you look at the playoffs, other than these two teams who rolled over everybody, it was a big waste of time. I mean, it was unwatchable. So we have to have this. The problem is, if Golden State rolls right through them the way they have everybody else, then you've got nothing. Then you've got no competitive balance, and you've got one team that's so much better than everybody else, and it's just not compelling. It's not watchable.
And they can, right?
They can and they will. I mean, they were up 3-1 last year in the finals. They should have won then. They're way better now than they were then because they added Kevin Durant. Steph Curry's healthy now. Draymond Green's a beast. He's not going to get suspended. And they're running on the fuel that they know they blew a 3-1 lead. It's an absolute lock. They're going to win. I've never been so sure of anything. And if they don't, Sanchez will quit his job.
Hey, we're all good with that.
We'll take that. That sounds good. All
right.
That's
how sure I am.
Let's move on to something else that's in the sports world and is also sad, and that's the Tiger Woods story. Now that the dash cam video is out, a lot of people have more questions than answered at this point. Bring people up to speed with what we saw yesterday.
You know what I think? I think it's sad, but I think it's more pathetic than sad. I mean, if Tiger Woods thought that telling everybody that no alcohol was involved and that an unexpected reaction to his prescribed meds was going to make this whole thing go away, he's even more arrogant and ignorant than I thought. As if mixing pills is better than mixing drinks, because it's not, and the video backs it up. I mean, this guy was practically out on his feet. He had no idea where he was, literally. He was talking to a cop in Florida, but said he was in California. And he failed just about every field sobriety test he took, including the one thing, guys, that we all learn in kindergarten are ABCs.
Q-R-S-T-U-B. W-X. Y and Z.
Okay, sir, what I want you to do is go ahead and place your hands behind your back, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, that'll get you a pair of silver bracelets.
Wow. That's sad. And by the way, look, if the story is just that unexpected side effects from medication, then you know you're on that medication. There's no excuse for being out driving at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Seriously, I mean, what's unexpected about that? I mean, that guy is jacked up. And not only that, he's driving on a car with a couple of flat tires, some bumpers that are messed up. He's out. I mean, he's out with the engine running. Look, if you want to wreck your personal life and your golf career, you go right ahead. Be my guest. But don't ever get behind the wheel of a car on meds at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sex already wrecked this guy's marriage and his reputation. And based on that video, if he's not careful, pills are going to end his life or somebody else's.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Why do so many people who have the money to afford a driver not use one?
Either they're really dumb or really cheap or both. I mean, for the life of me, this guy of all guys, none of us, I mean, it's not an excuse that anybody ever should have, but this guy of all guys can't mix in an Uber, can't mix in a phone call to somebody 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
By the way, in that condition, where the hell are you going at 3 o'clock in the morning?
What
are
you doing at 3 o'clock in the morning? And of all guys, not to know when to use a driver, am I right?
Whoa!
Because
golf. Thanks.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Allie. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Jim?
All right. Last question on Tiger.
Thanks for making light of this, Allie.
My whole family was changed because of a drunk driver. I have no sympathy. I have no time at all.
But they do use a driver in golf.
They do use a driver in golf. That's what I was saying. No, F this guy. F this guy right to hell.
I have one final question on Tiger, then we'll move on to hockey, and that is, are you guys surprised, and maybe I missed it if it happened, no sponsors pulled out as a result of what happened to Tiger yesterday?
Not yet.
Okay. I mean, that's just that whole thing about, hey, look, guys, there was no alcohol involved. It was just a few pills. That's why that whole thing is so aggravating and annoying to me and why it pisses me off. I mean, who are you fooling with that?
Yeah.
Right. It's just as bad. Either way, it's just as bad.
NHL finals tonight, Saturday is going to be game three, and it's all Penguins so far. Your read going into this one?
My read, tip of the hat to the defending champs. They were outplayed for most of the first two games, but they're still up 2-0. That said, where was that one self-proclaimed redneck who had that catfish strapped to his ass when the Preds needed him? Maybe he got spooked by the fact, do you see that? That guy threw the fish on the ice in the first game. He was looking at 6 years in jail for that.
Well, he interrupted a meeting, Jim. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it was like a weapon of crime. Explain this to me. A dude can beat the living crap out of another dude in the same exact spot on the ice and get 2 minutes, but if you lob some seafood in that same spot, you're looking at 6 years? Get the hell out of here with that. Allie, get out of here with that.
I'm gone.
Out. There's no way Nashville comes back or were those games.
How dare
hold
you?
Hold on.
I'm they asking. Are outplaying here's the Penguins.
Here's what
this
I would
just
like.
In.
I Let me finish my sentence. There's no way Nashville comes back, or did they just have a couple of bad breaks and they're right back in it if things go their way?
It's going to get better when they go back home, to be certain, but now all of a sudden they've got to beat that team, the defending champs, the team that will not die. I mean, they're like an NHL vampire. You've got to beat them 4 times in 5 games. I'm saying homeboy should have strapped that fish to his ass and done it again. You know what he did? He sprayed it with Old Spice cologne. Oof. He threw it into a cooler. Yeah. He drove 8 hours. He filleted it. He cut out half its spine. And then he ran it over with a truck so he could strap it to his ass.
Yeah. Work, you can't doubt his dedication to the cause, that's for sure.
Yeah. Way, man.
All right, hear about all this and so much more. 3 great hours of Sports Talk Radio from 9 till noon today at jimrome.com and the podcast available at play.in and iTunes as well. That's the Jim Rome Daily Juggle. Great time, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
You legends are awesome.
Dude. Right? You playing some cake right there? Is that what I'm hearing is cake?
Yeah.
Cake? How about that?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 8.
I don't hate it, by the way.
That sounded great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys ready to welcome our new robot overlords?
It's about time.
I'm sorry? Yeah. I mean, look, let's face it. Robots are everywhere. They have transformed the world. I mean, you can't manufacture anything without robots anymore. And now, self-driving cars are right around the corner. That's a thing that's going to be happening. These are robots that are doing things humans used to do. And now there's a real-life RoboCop on duty in Dubai. They're talking about adding robotic police officers to the force there to assist with the human cops because there's lots of things that robots can do instead of and better than people. How about that?
I see a picture in this story of a robot cop in a mall.
Yes, you do. And he's got a little police hat on and he's saluting. And, yeah, he is working at the Dubai Mall, and people can go up to him, and they can ask him questions. He can provide information about services. He's got a touchscreen computer. He can also do official police business, like processing fines and tickets. He can use his camera eyes to send information back to a command center. He's doing a lot of police work out there in the mall, and they're talking about expanding this program, and eventually they hope to have up to 25% of the police force will be robots.
Right. What could go wrong?
Well,
asks 700 movies in the last 30 years.
Kevin, the general director of the Smart Services Department of the Dubai Police Department, is on the line.
Oh,
I'd like you to introduce him, please.
His name is Brigadier Khalid Nasir Al-Zarouki.
I'm sure that's very close. Brigadier, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm sorry. The Brigadier is not available.
No.
May I take a message?
Oh, are you one of the robot police officers?
I am the Hassan 3000. Robot police officer for Dubai.
Okay. Now, my friend Kevin was just asking facetiously, what could possibly go wrong with robot police officers? What's your answer to that?
Nothing can go wrong.
Oh, okay.
I am programmed to serve. I am a helpful police officer that speaks 14 different languages and am able to help in many different ways. I am currently on duty at the Dubai Mall.
Oh, okay.
Are you rich?
Are we rich?
Are you rich?
No.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I had a problem with my programming.
Yeah, that sounded like a problem. That's what we're concerned about, is some sort of software mix-up and you start killing people.
I'm still processing whose human rights to respect.
I see.
Who I can simply murder.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
I don't know how it works there in the...
woman on the phone?
I'm a lady.
Hello, woman.
Hello, robot.
Would you like to join the harem of His Highness Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum?
Oh, hard pass.
But it is fun to be part of his harem.
I'm not down for that.
It is not white slavery.
It sounds like it might be.
They told me it is not white slavery.
Are you sure?
Would you like to become part of his harem?
No, thank you.
Would you like to become part of his harem?
No, thank you.
Would you like to become part of his
You're
harem?
You're wearing me down. Sure. Oh.
Sorry. Malfunctioned again.
Oh, man.
So here's the thing about robots that concerns a lot of people, Hassan 3000, is that you're only as good as the information that is programmed into you. You don't have you can't make your own moral judgment. You just do what the people tell you, right?
I have been programmed to serve.
Okay.
Serve my masters.
All right. Oh.
My masters run the country of Dubai.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is in the United Arab Emirates.
That right. is correct, yes.
Which is a Muslim country.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But we are also in business with your President Trump.
Oh, you are?
And he says Muslims cannot come to your country.
Well, I mean...
He has put a ban on Muslims.
So what do you do with that?
We are Muslims, and yet he is opening properties in Dubai.
Oh.
He is starting a Trump Tower in Dubai, and yet he has banned Muslims.
That's a little confusing.
We are a Muslim country, and yet he has banned them. And yet he is doing business with Muslims, and yet he has banned them. And yet he has banned them.
Oh, Hassan.
Hassan 3000?
My brain hurts.
LNOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show and the world famous K-Rock. We debuted a brand new song from Foo Fighters and talked to Dave Grohl earlier this morning.
How about that?
So we're going to replay that song for you in about 25 minutes at 9.
And let's replay the talk with Dave, too, because it was awesome to kind of hear what the band's plans are for 2017. That's all coming up. First, though, Thursday mornings on the show means we catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew, drdrew.com. Don't forget, if you need a doctor to come to the house, you can get to him at heal.com. Well, not him, literally. Drew won't come to your house, but another qualified physician will. You can hear him with Mike Catherwood on Midday Live, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And don't forget all the fine podcasts, including Adam and Dr. Drew's as well. Dr. Drew's got a lot going on, is what I'm saying.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening?
First, I want to play a clip for you. This is us talking about Bean wanting to do mushrooms again.
All right.
And then I would like you to hear his impression of you.
Okay.
Here you go.
I'd hate to think that I'm going to live and die and never know what that is like, because I've heard so many great things about it.
Right.
And Dr. Drew is always like, oh, it can go bad. Oh, it can scrub your brain forever. Oh, you may end up in a mental hospital.
Why does he talk like that? Do you talk like that?
I didn't think I did, but you know how you don't know your own voice.
Thanks,
so thank you, Bean, for that luscious interpretation.
That's quite an impression. I thought it was you.
That's scary, but okay.
I trust Dr. Drew. I consider him my personal physician. And until he gives me the all clear, I'm not going to do the mushrooms. I keep waiting for him to tell me it's okay, because by all accounts, it's pretty safe.
Well, first of all, I didn't expect to have this conversation with Bean, which starts as follows. Bean, I'm not your physician.
Well, I'm your friend. You're the only doctor I know.
Okay. And I have told you in the past that of all the hallucinogens, that's the one that I personally have never seen any long-term consequence from.
Okay.
Though there are occasional reports of some toxic reactions, some psychotic episodes and things like that, as you would expect with any hallucinogenic. I've also told you that as a category, the hallucinogenics scare me the most of all the drugs people abuse, because it's a neurotoxin. I've seen all kinds of downstream awful psychiatric syndromes from people that abused hallucinogens, but it's primarily LSD, MDMA, things like that. And I've never really seen it from psilocybin, from the mushrooms. And now a study came out that confirmed that of all of them, it's clearly the least toxic.
That's why we were talking about it today. That's why I thought now's the time.
And now's the time. This is your time.
Would you support this?
Oh, it can go bad. Oh, it can scrub your brain forever. Oh, you may end up in a mental hospital.
That's me talking.
That's Bean's interpretation of you talking.
All right, my takeaway is that Dr. Drew says it's okay to do mushrooms. So let's move on to another topic.
I can leave you the information to make your own judgment. And enjoy if you do. And I want a full report, because Jesus Christ. Bean on mushrooms,
right.
I want to see that.
I need it.
Him $1,000, and we need to do a show with him on mushrooms.
I like it so much.
Is that the plan? All right.
I want somebody to get a little ship and sing Edmund Fitzgerald and just wave it by and see what he does.
He's so great. So we're just effing with him while he's actually on shrooms.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Well, let's get into this topic because, Dr. Drew, you've had a very busy week. I've seen you all over the TV, all over the radio, because everybody's asking you about Mary-Kay Letourneau breaking up with her husband. Everybody's asking you about the heroin needle exchange. There's so many things in the news right
Tiger
now.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, there's a lot on. But the thing we wanted to talk to you about, because I feel like you're an outlier on this one, is when Kathy Griffin did the photo shoot of her holding up the mock head of the president covered in blood, there was almost universal derision. She couldn't find even the most liberal person in the world, no matter how much you don't like the president, she couldn't find one person to step up and say, I think it's an artistic choice. Let her go. No big deal, right? That's she immediately lost her, lost sponsorship deals. She got fired from CNN. You couldn't find anyone out there to speak on her behalf. But I understand you've got a little bit of a sympathetic take on Kathy Griffin.
She's okay. I think she's funny. Everything's good.
I think you just represent me, it's funny you would talk about all those other stories. This is the first week since Mr. Trump has been elected that the press has turned its attention away from politics for five minutes.
That's true.
And Kathy has done us at least that favor. I don't endorse what Kathy did. I don't like it. I wish she would apologize not just to the Trump family personally, but also to perhaps families of ISIS victims, because it was directly hurtful to them. No way am I signing off on it. I don't like it.
Okay.
But what I hate more is the mob reaction. I hate it.
Well, that is a huge problem as well.
I hate it. Yeah. I hate that people lose their jobs because of missteps. This is a bad one. I understand. But it's like defending free speech. The time when things you like the least, when you have to stand up to say no, that's when it's the hardest. And that's what I'm trying to do now, is stand up and defend Kathy. And tell everybody to shut the hell up. Leave Kathy alone.
Because you thought she apologized.
She apologized. She's had consequences.
Sincerely. Yeah.
She made a mistake.
Right.
She acknowledges she made a mistake. That's it. It's over. Stop it. Why do people need blood? Why do they have to have blood? I thought they would stop with them when the jobs were lost, because that's the usual bloodlust they go for, which is bad enough. And I think it's so uncivilized. Now, mind you, The images that Kathy created were uncivilized too, and I understand, but she backed away from it and apologized for it. The mob goes on.
So you're saying, how did that not end the story?
I just hate the mob behavior. I hate it more than anything in our culture today. And so I can even stand by something I don't like, because I hate the mob so much more. It's not okay the way people are behaving. The vitriol that they're saying, that they're lashing on upon her, is ridiculous.
Are you talking about now still, or are you talking about the initial accountability?
I mean, go on. Listen, well, here's – I mentioned this to my wife last night at 10 o'clock, and she sat there for 2 hours and sort of tongue-lashed me while she was reading the Twitter feeds, by the way.
Dear. We didn't need to hear
that. But sounds like you guys made up.
We don't need that kind of detail.
Sounds hot.
But they made – it was very sexy. But they made – the Twitter reactions made her more upset and more angry at Kathy. And so she got mad at me for defending Kathy. Mm. And so I'm like, look, I understand it's not okay. But this behavior of individuals collectively right now, we cannot get used to this. It is really like the French Revolution.
I think you bring up a good point. But since we talked about the job loss, Kathy getting fired after 10 years of New Year's Eve on CNN – they had no choice, Dr. Drew. No. You can't put that woman on the air as the face of the program on CNN if she's held up the president's bloody head.
I think you're right, and I think but after all, it's the media that created the echo chamber that led her to conclude that this would be something that should be applauded for. I mean, she's also created a bottom now on this behavior that people are the attacking.
At least there is now a line.
Not just a line. I think people are backing off. Going, okay. I guess that guy's just a businessman trying to do the best job he can. I don't like him, but he's not a whore. He's not the devil incarnate, which is what they were saying to themselves 3 days ago. So in a way, she's done a little bit of a favor here too.
And you also cut her a little slack because she is a comedian and a provocateur.
Absolutely.
It's not like this was the governor of Wisconsin or something who did it.
100%. And again, not okay. Misjudge, misfire, complete. Swing and a miss. But okay, bad. Not worthy of. There are petitions going around now to have her arrested. And believe me, she's going to get a visit from the Secret Service, and they're going to look at it and go, "Please stop." And that'll be that.
Okay. I mean, flip side of mob mentality, it could work out well. Bill O'Reilly, who's with me? Anyway.
Yeah, it really is. Here's the real comedy of Kathy and Bill ought to get together. And share.
Now you got yourself a show, right?
Oh, dear. I am not watching that.
Dr. Drew, I got to tell you that there's room in both Bean and my brain, I think, for the idea that in the future we're going to say something that upsets the mob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the mob mentality is going to kick in and we will get fired for it. I think
it's shocking it hasn't happened.
We both believe that pretty wholeheartedly.
It's really easy. And by the way, every time I've been the object of these crap storms, it's been a weird distortion, even of not even what I said. It's just they keep going, and it's like, you know, and then I have to go on apology tours or explanation tours, and it's dumb.
I applaud what you say, and I think you bring up some really good points, and I think there are a lot of different angles on this story, and one of them is the media overreaction, and I think that's worthwhile to have brought up on this one. Thank you very much,
Dr.
Right.
But set me straight. If I really need to not, you know, if it's so heinous that we, you know, can't defend our poor friend who's the object of a hurricane, let's set me straight, because maybe I'm thinking wrong. But
I think you're all right. I think you're all right on this one. I think it's a valid opinion. All right. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for the live appearances, all the great podcasts, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Drew podcast, the weekly infusion. And, of course, you can hear them with our friend Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Thanks for the time, Doc.
All right, guys.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Once again, new Foo Fighters music dropped this morning. We'll play that song for you again right after Ralph Showbiz Beat. And hear our little chat with Dave Grohl, too. That's all coming up on K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Good morning. Finally, some good news. The MTV Beach House is back.
All right.
Right?
Yeah. Woo! How long's it been gone?
Woo-hoo.
Seems like 15 years.
Whoop-dee, whoop-dee, woo, woo, woo!
Do you know? Doesn't it seem like
early?
That doesn't really matter.
I think it was 2003.
Wow.
I think it was 14 years ago was the last time we got an MTV Beach House. Right? How happy is Bill Bellamy going to be?
You should ask Carson Daly how happy he is when
Carson's
we talk about it.
Carson's got to be slathering on some sunscreen, right? Yeah, apparently, it says here, 14 years ago, so it was 2003.
Wow.
We're bringing back the MTV Beach House this summer for a new generation of fans, said MTV, who has no fans of a new generation. No, that's not true, of course, because all the stars are going to be there. Nessa from Girl Code.
Sure.
How'd they get Nessa?
Cody Christian of Teen Wolf fame.
Oh, good.
And Chico Bean of Wild and Out will all be hosting.
They got them all on one show?
All of them.
Wow.
So, get your Mountain Dew spiked lemonade and drink it up.
Wait, they make a Mountain Dew spiked lemonade?
I think so.
I'm in.
Because here it says, bring back the MTV Beach House is one of those can't-miss moments we love to bring to the Dew Nation. So, the Dew Nation will be happy.
So, in other words, they got a lot of money for Mountain Dew, and they had to sponsor something, so they said, I don't know, I guess we can bring back the Beach House.
Oh, you're so cynical, Bean.
Right?
What about just the fun and frolic of summertime beach love?
Okay. Plus a home for those three huge stars.
Right. Yeah. Plus Nessa, Cody, and Chico.
Right.
Chico and the Man has been absent for a long time.
Wow.
I don't think that's
that's the saddest buzz.
That's something for our new generation of fans. A Chico and the Man reference.
Right?
Everyone gets to take home.
I don't even know what it was, but I know it's old.
Chico and the Man was a situation comedy, Allie, back in the 70s. That starred Freddie Prinze Sr. and the great Jack Albertson.
I don't know these references.
And
right?
Let's not forget the popular theme song by Jose Feliciano.
Chico, don't you worry. The man ain't so hard to understand. Chico, watch your hurry.
It's awful. I want to watch it now.
That was the theme song?
Wow. How is that a comedy? That sounds so sad.
Because it's good in everyone. And a new day has begun.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty strong.
I not only loved that song.
Of course.
I had the 45. Keep with the man theme.
You are a cartoon, my friend.
A lot of people did back then.
You're a freaking cartoon.
Very popular show.
Could you pull that out and put it on the spindle? give it a spin so we could all take a listen.
I don't know. I like your version a lot.
Thank you.
It's a lot what it sounded like, too, by the way.
Thank you. I don't get a chance to bust out my Jose Feliciano impression very often, but it'll be part of my highly popular nightclub set that I'm performing at the Desert Inn this weekend. Come on out. That's another thing that hasn't existed since the 70s. Desert Inn. Yeah. That's good times, right? However, I will be at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
No.
Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage once again to bring you Hollywood Babble On.
No.
It's a good time, the late show, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and come out.
Yeah.
Have a cocktail.
Well, I'm just not sure about that.
Have something to eat. Laugh your butt off.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Well, we're talking about things that are retro and nostalgic. How about this list of the six highly valuable Star Wars toys that in the collector's market these days? With Star Wars being back in the news with a new phenomenon, these are the most valuable searched-for Star Wars action figures. Hmm. They all cost around $3 back in the day. And if you invested then, I'm just saying, it could make a couple bucks. Like Yak Face. Right?
Oh, Yak Face.
Yak Face. The last time Yak Face was available was in 1985. It was part of the Power of the Force toy line. Cost you $3 back in the day. $2,300 is what it gets on the open market these days.
Wow. Yak Face is also at the MTV Beach House this summer, too.
It'll be there. Anakin Skywalker. Not Darth Vader. And not the new Anakin Skywalker with Batty McActing Face.
Uh-huh. Right. So the one from...
The OG Anakin Skywalker in Jedi, at the end of Jedi, when he sees the three ghosts, you see Yoda, and you see Ben Kenobi, and he sees his dad,
right.
Not all beat up, all scarred up. He sees good Anakin. They made an action figure of that.
And it's a ghost.
It's not
it's a ghost.
It's a ghost action figure. It's an image of Anakin being healthy and happy.
Jar Jar Binks?
Cost you $3 back in the day, $3,400 if you got it these days.
Wow. And is that because they made so few of them?
Yes.
There aren't a lot in circulation.
Yes. And plus, few kids really wanted the fat old Anakin Skywalker action figure. Didn't get a lot of play around the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Jawa with the vinyl cape, right? From 1978? $3,500 now for a vinyl Jawa.
See, I've got the cloth cape.
So right? Cloth. That's what everyone had.
Yeah. Chip, you have a guess?
Porkins.
Porkins is not on the list. Vlix from the Droids cartoon.
Oh, Vlix.
Vlix.
Sure.
Was only available in Brazil. $6,000 if you can get one on the card.
Holy moly.
Rocket-firing Boba Fett prototype. They used to have a rocket-firing Boba Fett where you'd hit this backpack and rockets would fire out, and they found kids were choking on them.
Oh.
So they changed that design pretty quickly.
Hmm.
But if you can find one, $22,500. And then, of course, we don't have to... everyone is assuming. I can hear people screaming at their radios in their cars right now.
Salacious Crumb.
Not Salacious Crumb, no. Double telescoping lightsaber Luke Skywalker.
Sure. How much?
Because he has a little hand there, and the lightsaber would come out. But then they had one where the second part of the lightsaber would come out. It kind of looks like a dog's lipstick.
Both forward?
Yes, both forward. What good would it be going backwards, Kevin?
He'd kill himself.
No. Some of them had the where they held
it's
it in the
Darth
middle.
Darth Maul. We're talking about Luke Skywalker for corn's sake.
I don't remember a lightsaber with two going forward.
Anyway, $2 back in 1978. Now over $30,000.
Wow.
You got
it,
so.
What is the attraction of Star Wars?
Right.
Who can say?
Who can say? Check your toy boxes, kids. There's gold in them, thar hills.
Can I hear some more Chico of the Men?
Chico, don't you worry. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. Slipping into a little Sammy Davis Jr. You can take the sunrise. Today's celebrity birthday.
Jose Feliciano. Wishing everybody at K-Rock a Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año Nuevo con Felicidad.
Right.
And also to Ken and Beam.
Thank you, Ken and Bean, from Jose Feliciano.
That was the Jose Feliciano legal ID, yes.
I remember when he said that. We were so happy he said Ken.
Ken and Bean.
That was the funniest thing to us.
And let's not,
can you write it out for him so we could just read it when he was recording it?
Sure. Ralph, I have bad news for you.
Kevin's not getting the joke, Bean.
He's blind, Kevin. Jose Feliciano can't see. God damn it.
I didn't know that.
That's funny.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman is 80 years old today.
So you're saying he couldn't see it if they wrote it out?
Right. Okay, my bad.
Heidi Klum is 44. Alanis Morissette turns 43 years old today. Yep. That was a weird backward bell. If I was in the Black Lodge with Agent Cooper for a minute there. Amy Schumer's 36. Nick Young, Swaggy P, is 32 years old today. And Tom Holland, Spider-Man, is 21. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Remember that song from the Deadpool?
Welcome to the Jungle. Was Deadpool?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There was a movie called The Deadpool. The Deadpool. It was a Dirty Harry movie. It was the first time anyone ever heard that song, Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, I know.
No kidding. No.
And Jim Carrey played a rock star who was making a video of that song.
Is that right?
He was on, Welcome to the Jungle, and he's lip-syncing it, and he just looked like a douchebag. But no one knew it then because we all thought, like, that guy's weird and cool. And then it was just being goofy.
And then it became what it is
now. None of this is registering with anyone?
No, I didn't see
that. Clint Eastwood movie, The Deadpool, it's
didn't
called.
See it.
You can find Jim Carrey lip-syncing to Welcome to the Jungle, making a music video.
All right.
And he's supposed to be like a strung-out heroin rock star dude guy.
He's a dude guy?
He's a dude guy.
Right. That is an unexpected flashback for that song.
Little nugget. Take that home with you.
All right, it's 9:41. Wrap us here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin Amin Show, what's new? What's going on?
Here's another little nugget. We've been talking about Alanis Morissette all morning because it is her birthday. She is 43 years old today. Give me a little Alanis. Give me a little something.
It's something.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. That song,
and she
of course,
was arguably the biggest artist in the world for a while, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that song was huge.
That song, how about that album? How about Jagged Little Pill? Yep. How about the album called Jagged Little Pill with the titular song?
I'm sorry?
You heard me. And Ironic.
Right.
Hand in My Pocket.
Yeah.
You Ought to Know.
Right. A lot of songs.
Thank you, B.
Yes.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Just saying.
So glad you're here.
For adding to that.
Well, if you're one of those girls who sang that song into a microphone while being angry at your ex-boyfriend, Allie, then you'll be happy to know that her album is being adapted into a musical, a stage musical, that will premiere next spring, May of 2018, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Not only is the music of Alanis Morissette going to be prominently featured in this jukebox musical, as they're called, but the writer of the story of the musical is Diablo Cody.
Oh.
Who gave us Juno and many other books and movies and things that we love. So it's a dynamic duo of Diablo Cody and Alanis Morissette. Right?
Right.
Right.
That should be good.
Agreed.
That should be something we would like.
Now, is it only going to use songs from that album, or will they expand to other Alanis Morissette songs? And the reason I ask is I'm wondering if we'll have an occasion to call India at any point.
I don't understand what you mean. What are you talking about, Bean? I'd like to know more about what he's talking about.
Hold on, take care of this and find out. Talking about Alanis Morissette and her great songs.
Right. She had a song called Thank You, India.
I think somebody deserves a little credit here. Allie, you're with me on this call, right?
So bad.
Namaskar.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay!
I thought it was stupid at the time.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Bean manages to work that in about three times a year.
You guys did that.
Yes.
And then song called Thank You, India.
Listen to him.
It's not. I feel bad, though. I feel bad that you guys are playing favorites. You're calling India, but you're not calling Montreal. Can we call Montreal?
Oh, come on.
I would like to call Montreal just to see what's going on up there to our neighbors to the north.
That was even more stupid.
They deserve a phone call as well, I think.
I wish I had that.
You know, fantastic. Wow.
Killed a lot of time hoping for that.
I do.
That's great news.
Oh, come on. Why don't I have that?
What happened in Montreal?
Not Montreal. It's Monty Hall.
And it was.
Stop it.
And it was actually Monty Hall.
Stop it. Monty Hall
picked up the phone on the other end. And it wasn't Montreal. It's Monty Hall.
Yeah, we did that.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Yep. There you go. We did that. That also happened.
That was the whole purpose for the phone
call. And was just as dumb, and I hated it then, and I hate it now.
Yeah. No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Why do some people tune out?
Popular host of Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall.
That's back when we used to do really funny stuff.
Answered the phone. You guys were creative and energetic young men.
Right.
You are in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I suspect that was pre-Ralph Garvey.
Of course.
I don't think that ever would have gotten out of the meeting if Ralph
Garvey. Of course. Are you kidding?
He's the voice of reason.
But who loves a good pun better than I do?
Yeah, well. Right? I remember arguing at the time, this is stupid. We're not going to call India. Bean was all about it. Had to do it. Had to do it.
10-4, good buddy.
Thank you, David Lynch. Oh, that was good stuff.
Nope.
Good stuff.
Nope.
What do you do when you buy yourself a DeLorean and you're a fan of Back to the Future? Spencer White of Saugus, California, finally got his dream car last month. Got his DeLorean. He'd been saving up for a DeLorean for a decade. So Friday night, he takes it out for its inaugural spin. And
please
he's
tell
in
me.
There with his lady.
Yeah.
And he says to her, he says, well, what do you got to do? What do you got to do when you have a DeLorean?
Go back in time.
Well, actually, you can't really do that, Kevin. So
you got to take it up to 88 miles an hour.
Got to get up to 88 miles an hour. Because that's the speed that you have to hit for the flux capacitor to kick in. Right? Spencer said, I thought, let's take it up to 88 miles per hour. So I put the pedal to the metal. I was at 88 for about 2 seconds when immediately I saw the police officer behind me. Instead of back in time, Spencer ended up with a $400 speeding ticket and a date in traffic court.
You got a date out of it? That's cool.
Really?
No.
You have a problem with Thank You India, but you're gonna stand by that.
I'm not standing by that. All right, let me ask you guys this. If this is you and you've got the DeLorean and you've intentionally gone to 88, aren't you okay with getting a ticket for that? Because now you've got proof to hang on the wall that you did it.
And wouldn't you say to the cop, like, you know, I was doing that? And then the cop would be like, you're right.
I would say, how fast was I going, officer? And I'd make him say 88 miles per hour. And I'd go,
Nailed it.
Right?
And then he's never seen Back to the Future, so he has no idea what you're talking about.
If he hadn't seen Back to the Future, then that's police abuse. You take him, you report him to his superiors.
From what I've learned from the movie Back to the Future, one of the best movies, that could be very devastating to know too much about your own future. Because in that sense, you by knowing about too much about your own future, you can screw up the present past.
You know what, Beer Mug? We all know about your future. We know a lot about your future. And I gotta tell you, son, it's dark. It's dark, dark times coming for you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman is 80 years old today. Heidi Klum celebrates her 44th birthday. Alanis Morissette, as we mentioned, is 43 today. Amy Schumer is 36. Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P., from the Los Angeles Lakers, is 32 years old today. And Tom Holland, soon to be seen everywhere as the Amazing Spider-Man. He is 21 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. By the way, we debuted the new Foo Fighters today. Also, Prophets of Rage have a new song out today that is awesome.
Not safe for radio.
Not safe for radio, right? Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, the movie Veep, because it's Friday. We've got Tim Simons from one of our favorite shows, Veep, and comedian Jimmy Pardo joins us as well tomorrow morning.